Good morning, it's Dr. Peter speaking, and this morning I'd like to introduce Brad Beer. Brad Beer is a physiotherapist from Pogo Physio. His main practice is at the Q Centre, Mermaid Waters. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks very much, Peter. Thanks for having me along.
Now, Brad, a lot of people suffer from back pain these days. How common is it, and how common is it for the physio to see?
Peter, lower back pain is an enormous part of what we daily treat as physiotherapists. Interestingly, it's one of Australia's major health challenges, particularly any westernised nation. Statistically, 60 to 80%, Peter, of Australians will suffer lower back pain throughout their life. And interestingly, one in four people will suffer from lower back pain at any given point in time. So it's a big challenge for society.
So what are the causes of this back pain?
Peter, great question. There are multiple causes of anyone's lower back pain. Certainly in the practice, we find that most patients would love there to just be one isolated factor that has caused it. However, I liken it to making a cake. There's never just one factor. There's multiple parts of the recipe that go together to make the end result. In the context of lower back pain, the chief causes of the pain developing, there's really four of them. The first is stiffness in the upper back. That's what we call the thoracic spine. The second chief cause is tightness around the hips, so the sitting muscles, the glutes, the hamstrings, the hip flexors. The third chief reason is weakness of key muscle groups. And Peter, the fourth key reason we see so much lower back pain in Australian society and certainly in the practice is people's body weight. Unfortunately, with a lot of the sedentary lifestyle that people have these days, it does result in increased body weight, which is a huge contributing factor for anyone's lower back pain.
Let's just come back to the weakness of the key muscle groups. I understand the weakness of your abdominal muscles is a cause of back pain. Is that true?
Yes, weakness of the abdominal muscles is one part of what we as physios or as a physiotherapist, Peter, term the lumbopelvic musculature. And without getting too jargonish on that, that constitutes the muscles of the lower back and also the muscles around the hips, such as the glutes. And also you've got the muscles at the front, like you mentioned there, the abdominals. So it's almost like a corset, if you like, of the lower back. And if any of those muscle groups are weak or inactive, then an individual's chance of incurring lower back pain is greatly increased.
And I suppose most people these days, over 60%, are carrying some excess weight. And it's almost a denial, isn't it, that we're carrying it. And we're always about to lose it. But then I suppose if we get back pain and we're not exercising, we're then in a vicious circle, are we?
Exactly. And this is a real trick for health practitioners working with patients to rehabilitate them through their back pain. And that is that, as you say, Peter, they're stuck. They're not able to exercise and more weight gain is accrued in the meantime. However, I point out to every patient that I treat where this is a contributing factor, and that's that even 5 kilograms makes a massive difference in someone's experience of lower back pain, let alone if we start talking about 10 kilograms. And so as a therapist, I very much will set my patients up for failure unless I actually acknowledge and address, and we do that in a diplomatic and sensitive fashion, the fact that we do need to start reducing the body weight or what I call the frame weight of the person suffering from the pain.
I like that, the frame weight. So here, this is where the general practitioner or the orthopedic surgeon and the physio and other allied health people such as dietitians work together. Is that right? I mean, do many of your patients also see dietitians as well, or where does that fit in?
Great question, Peter. It's paramount that there's a team approach to many people's management. As a physiotherapist, I certainly don't write dietary plans. However, a good therapist, and as a fellow medical practitioner, you'd recognise this. We recognise the boundaries of our areas of expertise. So we definitely, though, need to have conversations where we start to bring the associated health practitioners into their care plan. So whether that's a dietitian talking about body weight, or in some cases, patients needing a referral on towards an orthopedic surgeon or a neurosurgeon for review, it's definitely a team approach. It's interesting, though, as medical practitioners, you often are their only point of true conversation. So I've found that as a physio, if I'm not having the conversation about, for example, body weight, then I can't assume that anyone else in their medical world will, or certainly their world in general.
Yeah, so I like the diplomatic framework. I do like that. Now, we'll just go a little bit aside. The fit, healthy young person who strains his back. When I was a young doctor doing orthopedics, I was almost told to rest him in bed for 3 weeks and it'll get better. Now, is that still the recommendation, or is bed rest now out, or what's the current recommendations there?
Peter, definitely the medical community's fairly well in tandem with their approach to this now, and that is that bed rest is very much out, it's gone. Back in the in days gone by, that was the general advice. However, we now acknowledge and recognise that movement is crucial in terms of an acute lower back pain episode, such as the young and otherwise fit and active person you mentioned there as an example. So we encourage people to move as quickly as possible, as safely as possible, and obviously that's with our guidelines. There's certain things that you do want to avoid.
So tell me the role of the physiotherapist in the acute back pain in the young person there.
If it was an acute back pain episode in a young person, Peter, a physiotherapist's role is initially to decrease the pain that they're experiencing. Now, depending on the degree of pain, Peter, they may need to consult their GP first for pain medication. Oftentimes, though, a physiotherapist will be the first contact that that patient has. So we work in tandem, obviously, with getting relief or analgesia for their pain initially. But that's our first goal, is getting them out of pain. And we can do that with a variety of techniques and education and advice and many different things there.
I often think the physiotherapist is put in a difficult position, because a lot of people go to the physiotherapist first and then they're going to ask you, when should they see their doctor? So when should they see their doctor?
Peter, there's no right or wrong answer here. It's very much on a case-by-case basis. So a patient should see their doctor if generally they've self-medicated before they would arrive at a physio with some basic analgesia or some, sometimes anti-inflammatories. And if they are experiencing sort of a high-level pain, then once our assessment's been done, we'll often recommend that they should pop in and get some higher-level pain relief. It doesn't matter too much whether they see a physio first or the doctor first. A good physiotherapist will know when they need an increase in their pain relief by medication and will refer to a GP, and vice versa. An astute GP will know that they need some input from a physio quickly as well. So I think it's neither a wrong or right, it's just a often both type approach.
And do people come in with scans, or do they come in and ask, should they get a scan, or do they come in, or can you just tell me the so-called scan, what that is, and is it painful, and who orders it, and is it covered by Medicare, and the so-called scan of my back?
Yeah, sure. Scans, Peter, are an umbrella term, really. And in the world of lower back pain, the scans that are relevant would include plain film imaging, so that's x-rays, possibly a CT scan, or possibly an MRI. And there's different criteria as to whether or not we would recommend someone get each of those scans.
Yeah, and also that's where Medicare, again, will cover you. If I think a GP can order a plain x-ray and a general practitioner can order a CAT scan, but generally speaking, the government says, well, if we're going to pay for high-end and very expensive tests like MRI, maybe that should be a specialist. Is that currently the situation?
Yes, it is. Plain film or x-rays can be ordered or referred for via a GP, a general practitioner, or a physio, and they're both Medicare rebatable in full. A CT scan can be ordered by a general practitioner, a GP, and that's bulk billed as well through Medicare. An MRI scan, Peter, is only rebatable via Medicare through a specialist referral. As a physiotherapist, we do on occasion send direct for an MRI or via their GP. However, that does not have a Medicare rebate attached or associated with it, so it's at full fee to the patient.
So we know back pain is common. We know it can be chronic. We know it can be debilitating. The young person with acute back pain, that often they've got a good prognosis, have they? And how long would you often tell them that they'll get better?
Peter, yes. I mean, young people do suffer lower back pain, and incidentally, we rarely see it in the age group less than 10 years. However, we do see it regularly in the years between 10 and sort of 20. And there's numerous reasons for that, and dependent on the condition as it presents. But generally, if the young person gets care in a timely fashion, and most parents are fairly astute with not letting their child run around with lower back pain for too long, then they've got the best chance of minimising prolonged problems throughout their life. And so if a proactive approach is taken, then generally the child will be okay long term.
Chronic back pain, very debilitating. Tell me what the physio does there in particular. I know we've covered it, but just to reiterate what you do to help the chronic back pain sufferer.
Yeah, Peter, there's five stages that we need to take anyone with lower back pain through, whether that's the acute back pain sufferer, or what we call the subacute, or, as you mentioned, the chronic back pain sufferer. And those stages are, firstly, pain relief. Then we work on the range of motion. I'll come back on these things in a moment. Then we look at stabilising the spine through exercise, strengthening the spine through exercise, and then maintaining the body weight over time.
So you've got a person who's 50, hasn't exercised in 20 years, suddenly goes to boot camp. Give me your thoughts. How are you seeing that commonly? I know my general practitioner friends are. They're seeing a lot of people with a lot of injuries. Are you seeing them as well?
Peter, yes. I mean, it's great to see people exercising and taking a proactive approach to their health. However, many injuries are the result of an overzealous return to fitness, whether that's in the manner of a boot camp or however that fitness is pursued. And there are really a couple of key elements that a body, literally the human body, needs before it jumps into endeavours like heavy lifting or pushing and pulling things. And for example, that's if you've got tight calves or tight quadriceps muscles at the front of the thighs, or even tight glutes or buttocks, if you like, then you are at a massive risk of upsetting your back with a loaded squat, and a lot of squats are done at across boot camps and different things. So there's a few simple things that if people were able to get a check before they jumped in, they would actually save themselves often a lot of pain.
And another controversial area for medicine, I know, although I've practiced as an eye surgeon, where does stretching fit into all this?
Oh, Peter, stretching. In the context of lower back pain, it really sits for most people quite highly as a must-do. And it's not a matter of just stretching everything and anything. A good physiotherapy assessment is able to target the specific areas that a person needs to be aware of, to look after and stretch in order to reduce their pain and also their ongoing risk of, in our conversation today, lower back pain. So most people are fairly time-constrained, Peter. So I find that people are appreciative if they end up with two or three key stretches that won't take them endless hours or anything longer than really 5 or 10 minutes a day that they should be doing on a regular basis that will help serve them with their life and fitness and reduction in low back pain symptoms.
So, Brad, it sounds like the physiotherapist is an important member of the team when it comes to back pain, but in terms of Medicare coverage, can you just run through which patients will be covered, by some scheme of Medicare and which won't be, or approximately how people pay for this treatment?
Yes, certainly, Peter. In terms of payment for a physiotherapy service, there's a few different ways that can occur. The first is through private health insurance, and as a physiotherapist, for example, or at the practice that I operate, all our therapists are fully registered with all the private health insurers, so people can get on-the-spot rebates through any private health insurance. Secondly, Peter, the government via the Enhanced Primary Care Plan, or what we call the EPC, can allocate up to 5 physiotherapy treatments under a GP referral to a physiotherapist each year. And at our practice, for example, we will bulk bill those. Every practice is slightly different, but it's a largely Medicare rebated service if it isn't bulk billed, but certainly we bulk bill. And Peter, there are some criteria for that, accessing an EPC referral, and generally that's at the discretion of a GP. One of the key criteria is that it must be a chronic condition. So in the case of lower back pain, it must be a chronic case of lower back pain that they've suffered for longer than 6 months.
So the elderly person with chronic back pain, or not even elderly, the person with chronic back pain can go along to their GP and discuss whether a physiotherapist would be beneficial to them.
Absolutely.
And what about the veterans? I mean, do they get covered as well? Or is it via the general practitioner, or what happens there?
Peter, any listeners that are maybe returned veterans or families or family members of them absolutely can receive treatment under a Department of Veteran Affairs or DVA referral. That process is quite straightforward. It's a referral from the general practitioner, the GP, to the physio of choice. And depending on the level of Department of Veteran Affairs cover, whether it's gold, silver referral, the patient will be able to receive either unlimited services or a scope of services for a period of time. Normally that's 3, 6, or 12 months.
Thank you, Brad, and thank you for coming on my show today. And I hope yet again you'll come back another day to tell us about the physiotherapist's approach to another problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. I'd love to.